when frequent flyer miles become frequent gamer miles.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, exploring the latest on how technology is changing our lives and our society. Witness, if you will, the young 18 to 24-year-old male in his natural fiscal habitat. Not a lot of credit, maybe not even a bank account, but still a demographic that marketers want a piece of, and often a video gamer. That's why this week, instead of frequent flyer miles, your new prepaid American Express card may offer virtual cash for online multiplayer video game League of Legends. Marketplace's Dan Gornstein reports.
It's a good time to get into debit cards.
The prepaid card business is like a $425 billion global industry, growing at north of 20% since 2009 every single year.
That's Stefan Hopp with American Express. The company thinks it can get a bigger piece of that market by tapping into 18 to 24-year-olds, people less likely to have a bank account. Amex has made a deal with the video game League of Legends. Starting tomorrow, sign up and you get 1,000 free points you can spend on virtual goods.
They have 32 million players worldwide. Those players play a staggering 1 billion hours of gameplay a month.
Ashish Jain is with Booz Allen. He says by partnering with an online video game company, American Express is playing with millennials on their turf.
When you look at the research, what these guys are looking for is engaging experience.
Jain says if this approach works, other credit card companies are likely to follow. I'm Dan Gornstein for Marketplace.
We're approaching yet another Apple product release. The company is expected to reveal new iPhones early next month. Plenty of rumors to be had, but no official word yet on what the company's new devices will be. The most futuristic rumor might be that the phone's home button will serve as a fingerprint scanner for security. But Apple's biggest move might actually be to offer a colorful, low-end iPhone. Less durable, but also less expensive. Jacob Castornakis writes for The Verge. Jacob, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So why a cheaper iPhone?
Well, a lot of the other devices on the market are available across a whole range of prices. And if Apple wants to be competitive, it has to be able to offer the latest and greatest to everyone.
What are the other models that this new rumored cheaper iPhone might go up against?
You know, there's just a whole host of Android smartphones that are available for no money if you're buying them for a two-year contract. And it's a really hard sell to get someone to buy a $200 iPhone when there's a really great-looking Android smartphone available for free at that moment.
Could this be a game changer?
You know, Apple's already been offering their older devices at this price, but it's very clearly their older device, and no one wants to buy a two-year-old device. But if you tell them you can buy this bright, fun, new iPhone for no cost, that's a little more appealing.
Jacob Castornakis is a reporter for The Verge. Jacob, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, helping individuals and businesses make their best impression where people learn about them first on the Internet. Learn more at 1-800-REPUTATION. And by Arizona State University Online, offering more than 60 undergraduate and graduate online degree programs at radio.asu.edu. Personal finance reporting on Marketplace is supported by Ally Bank, who believes in getting more from your news and your money, offering money market accounts. Learn more at allybank.com.
This week, NBC News bought a startup called Stringwire. The move was interesting for two reasons. One, NBC News wasn't really acting like an old-fashioned TV network with the acquisition, but more like a savvy tech company that saw a product it liked and snatched it up. And two, Stringwire's business could help NBC revolutionize news gathering by getting regular users to be a live camera crew. Brian Stelter is a media reporter for The New York Times. Brian, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So tell me, what is Stringwire? How does it work?
What it essentially does is lets NBC or any other user seek out eyewitnesses to a breaking news story. Let's say the plane that crash landed in San Francisco in July.
Sure.
What Stringwire does is it would send out a Twitter message to that eyewitness and say, hi, can you please send us some video of what you're seeing? What NBC hopes is that in the future, they won't just have one or two people on the scene of a breaking news story. They might have 10. They might have 20 different angles in order to show what's happening.
These days, videos of an event are up on YouTube so fast, but the idea of broadcasting live video footage from random people on the ground, isn't that kind of dangerous?
Certainly, there are reasons why we want producers and editors to filter the raw material that comes in.
Sure.
And thankfully, they do that today. And NBC says they'll continue to do that. They say this video they get in from StringWire will be vetted the same way any other video does.
And it's really interesting to me how much news organizations now are also depending on these same, you know, non-journalists to not only help them report the news, but tell them what the news is.
I think you're right that television and news organizations in general increasingly filter the web for us. Maybe I don't have time to figure out what the most interesting YouTube video of the day was. But hey, that's what ABC's Good Morning America is for. They're going to show it to me in the morning.
Over and over.
And that's a variation of what television's always done and what newspapers have always done, which is they've sorted this whole wide, crazy world out and given us the highlights every day, every morning, every evening, every night. Increasingly, sorting out the highlights of this world involves scrolling through the internet, figuring out what's out there. As more and more of our lives play out online, the media has to acknowledge that as well.
Brian Stelter is a media reporter for the New York Times. Brian, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
There's a longer version of my conversation with Brian Stelter at marketplacetech.org. And before we go, how about this new device? You keep it in your pants, and it helps you avoid hearing the letters XYZ in public ever again. Conductive thread, a tiny circuit board, and a vibrating motor help detect when your fly is down and give you a little buzzy heads up. Vibrating pants sounds kind of sketchy, but my real question is there any danger of electrocution? I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Tech on the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Dorm rooms and bunk beds, communal bathrooms, oh no thank you. It's tanning beds and indoor theaters for these college kids.
The increased building of these upscale communities surrounding college campuses sort of falls in with the trend of what some people have called the country clubization of college.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Student housing goes upscale next time on Marketplace. It's from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.